This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana, the day after Thanksgiving. Hope you had a great holiday. Pleased you're spending time with us. And if you'd like to join the conversation, we would like that. The number is 877-217-5757. And you can send us an email to talk@talklouisiana.org. And the New Orleans Saints had a festive Thanksgiving, beating their hated rival, the Atlanta Falcons, 31-17 last night at the Superdome. The Saints have won 10 games in a row and right now are probably the best team in the National Football League. We'll see what happens down the stretch. And as we approach 2019, we are now just 10 and a half months away from a governor's election, October 12th of next year. With us to talk about this and, of course, what's happening nationally are two seasoned political operatives in Louisiana. On the right is Vincent Bruno, the Republican Executive Committee member of Jefferson Parish, longtime Louisiana politico. And on the left is Dane Sherman, noted blogger, author, and professor at Southeastern Louisiana University, who is speaking as Dane Sherman citizen, not Dane Sherman Louisiana public employee. So we've got that down, and we'll start with Professor Sherman. What's your take about the prospect of one John Neely Kennedy getting in the governor's race in the next few days?
I think it's pretty clear that he's going to enter, Jim. And the main thing that gave me that indication, besides the fact that he's been stirring the water since about 1972, is that Jeff Landry got out. So obviously Jeff Landry got the memo that we have not gotten yet, but we all believe is coming. So I expect on December 1st, Jeff Landry, of course, has said he's going to run for lieutenant governor, and that John Neely Kennedy is going to run for governor, and we can all know what we've been knowing for since like 1972.
You said Jeff Landry running for lieutenant governor?
I'm so sorry.
Attorney General.
That was Freudian. No. There's no upset there. Everybody knows non-guessers going to win the lieutenant governor again.
Okay, and Jeff Landry will run for re-election as Attorney General.
Yeah,
and if he were to run for governor, he would have had to have given up his position. John Kennedy doesn't have to do that. Even if he loses, he's still a U.S. senator for at least the next 3 years.
It's convenient. I mean, it's a good thing. I mean, and that puts the same with any politician that can keep their position. Some people think that should be done away with, that we should make that illegal. But it does make things pretty convenient because they continue to keep their power even if they lose. And it helps the fundraising because people who want to influence them at the Senate level, at the U.S. Senate, know that they need to help him at least at the governor's level to keep him in good graces.
877-217-5757 is your number for Dane Sherman on the left, Vincent Bruno on the right. And Vincent Bruno, you've been down the road a few times in governor's races, very close at one time to former Governor David Connor Treen. How do you see the prospect of a race between John Bel Edwards and John Neely Kennedy?
Oh, I think it's very probable. I don't believe, if he has, I haven't heard it, but I don't believe he's announced yet. But he is giving indications that he is planning to enter the governor's race.
Well, John Kennedy was a Democrat until about 12 years ago, and he is a man who just turned 67 2 days ago. So he was a Democrat for the first 55 years of his life. He was a frequent thorn in Governor Bobby Jindal's side, which didn't endear him to the Jindal crowd. Will he have any trouble shoring up the Republican base, Vincent Bruno?
No, I don't think so. In fact, I think he'll be welcomed with open arms. I could be wrong. The Republican Party is unpredictable, just like the Democratic Party. We have our moments. But I believe he'll be welcomed, and he'll receive a great amount of support.
877-217-5757 for Vincent Bruno and Dane Sherman. And Professor Sherman, John Kennedy has mesmerized the national media. They are all over him. They can't get enough of John Kennedy. CBS Morning Show was in Baton Rouge a few days ago with a feature on Kennedy as a substitute teacher. And Gayle King, who I presume is probably not a Republican based on her expressions in the past, said, "I can't get enough of Senator Kennedy." Why would he leave that to become governor of Louisiana?
I don't know. I mean, look, we all know, and I think Vincent Bruno, who was a definite, as I recall, a definite anti-David Bitter person, who had really not been supportive of David Bitter, and I think he had good reasons. There's just something about the Louisiana governorship that just sends people over the edge, and they're willing to, now, again, it looks like he's not going to lose his Senate seat, so if he loses, he hadn't lost too bad. But there's something that drives people crazy about the Louisiana governorship, and they will risk it all to be in that governor's mansion. I don't know. I think it's just it's a really strange thing. I don't know the psychology behind it, but it seems like every boy in Louisiana or woman almost is. We've had at least one Louisiana governor who was a woman want to be governor, and I guess it's something in the water that we want to be governor of Louisiana, and it sure took the wind out of David Bitter's sails, that's for sure.
Well, Vincent Bruno, you have followed many politician. David Treen went from Washington to Louisiana. Edwin Edwards from D.C. to Louisiana, Buddy Romer, but they were congressmen. This man's a U.S. senator, and he tried three times before he was elected to the U.S. Senate. He's only been there actually less than 2 years. So it does seem curious that he is now moving, if things go according to plan, toward a run for governor. Does it surprise you at all?
No, it's not surprising. There are several reasons. Most of the congressmen and senators I've spoke to, they don't like being in Washington. They want to be home with their family, and even though their wife may move up there with them, it's still the rest of their family's still here in Louisiana. And second, the governor of Louisiana is the most powerful state house in the country, and by that what I mean is the governor of Louisiana is more powerful within his state than any other governor is within his particular state. A very powerful position within the state of Louisiana.
And John Kennedy is 67 years old as of 2 days ago. There is some speculation, and I'm not kidding you, and why not? Buddy Romer ran for president. Bobby Jindal ran for president. There's some speculation that he might even run for president of the United States in maybe 2024 when he will be approaching his 73rd birthday. What do you think of President John Kennedy, Vincent Bruno?
Well, that would be very, very interesting. And if he decides he's going to do that, my guess is that he won't run for governor. I think he'd stay, in the national limelight.
All right.
But, we'll see. Time will tell, and see what develops. But my guess is he will be coming back to he didn't leave Louisiana, but he'll be running for governor. So he'll able to stay full-time in Louisiana. That's my guess.
Well, Dane, previous governors, Jimmy Carter, Ronald Reagan, George Bush, Bill Clinton, they became president of the United States. It sometimes appears to be helpful to have been a governor, maybe even more so than a U.S. senator. Then in the 20th century, there was only, I think, one senator who was elected president, John Kennedy, and now we had another one in the 21st century and Barack Obama, but being governor sometimes helps national ambition.
Sure it does, Jim. And you can actually, for example, not that he has said or had any national intentions. If Governor John Bel Edwards ran for president, he has a whole list of things he's accomplished. Bipartisan accomplishments, real, meat and potatoes kind of accomplishments. Mostly, the senators, they end up having there's no executive experience. And then on top of that, they end up in with controversial votes that are controversial to their election as a president, and that hurts them. So I mean, that's why being a governor is so attractive. And if you're lucky, you bring a state with you in the Electoral College, which is helpful too. I think John Kennedy the issue with John Kennedy is he hasn't passed any legislation. He hasn't done anything but talk in Washington for a couple of years, so he doesn't have that to his advantage. He doesn't have much of a controversial record because he hasn't passed any legislation. And then on top of that, his biggest risk here at home is Responi, the Republican businessman, who says he's going to run, and somebody and some of the others are just tired of funding Kennedy's run for every office.
877-217-5757 is your number, and we'll return with Dane Sherman and Vincent Bruno. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. Matt Doyle is producing, and your number is 877-217-5757. On the left, Dane Sherman. On the right is Vincent Bruno, and we're discussing right now some state matters, but we'll move on to the presidency of Donald John Trump in just a moment. And by the way, happy 63rd birthday today to former U.S. Senator Mary Loretta Landrieu. She was born on this date in Arlington, Virginia, not New Orleans, but Arlington, Virginia, in 1955. And 2 days ago, John Neely Kennedy celebrated his 67th birthday. He was born in 1951 in Centerville, Mississippi. 877-217-5757, Ann in New Orleans. Ann, good morning. You're on Talk Louisiana.
Good morning. How are you doing today?
Fine.
I have a question for both of your speakers on online, because you all are talking about John Kennedy for governor. And I want to know, as a Louisiana voter, what the heck he was doing on that butt-kissing tour of senatorial junket nonsense in Russia, kissing the behind of Vladimir Putin just a few months ago. I didn't even call his office. I was so concerned about it, I never got a straight answer. Why is he serving our by going to pray?
All right, well, he did go to Russia, and he was critical of Vladimir Putin, so I don't think he's been quite as cozy with Putin as our president has. But Vincent Bruno, Putin will certainly be a continuing issue, and certainly as we look at the runoff for Secretary of State, Vladimir Putin gives every indication he's trying to interfere with elections in this country. Is he a major concern? And the fact that Senator Kennedy went to Russia, is that an issue?
I think he probably went to Russia to show he's, he has experience. So he's getting involved in international affairs. I do want to bring up a point, though. To talk about Governor Louisiana being a stepping stone or a governorship. In Louisiana, I don't believe, I'll stand corrected for my friend on the left there. But, you know, if you're governor of California, yeah, that's a stepping stone. Or governor of New York, that's a stepping stone into the presidency. I don't believe.
How about the governor? How about the governor of Arkansas? We had a guy who served 12 years as governor of Arkansas, who became president of the United States. That's a smaller state than Louisiana. Did I lose Vincent on that one? I think he's cogitating on that. But John Neely Kennedy gives every indication he is going to run. He said he would make his decision by December 1st, and that's 8 days away. So Dane Sherman, I think at this point it would be a surprise if he did not run.
I'd be shocked. I'd be completely shocked. I mean, I think he's been laying the groundwork the whole time. I think his staff has been focused on running for governor and not his work in Washington. So, I'm going to be completely shocked that he's not going to be running. But Eddie Responi's $5 million, the Republican businessman, and if he can shut out a lot of the, a lot of the big money from Louisiana, that's going to hurt. That's going to hurt the chances of Kennedy. I think that challenger is a big deal, because if he has his own $5 million, you know, that's if you want to win, you might need $10 million, but if you have $5 million mm-hmm. to start, you sure can't stop the next guy from winning. Well, I mean, your closest competitor, I mean, it's going to hurt him.
It'll hurt, but there could be a Democrat running too, in addition to the incumbent. But I do recall John Georges, who ran for governor as an independent. He spent $11 million in 2007 and couldn't crack 15%. And Bobby Jindal won that race without a runoff against Foster Campbell, Walter Blasso, and John Georges. So what it might do, Dane, with Rasponi in the race is force a runoff. And runoffs, as you know, tend to have lower turnout than primary elections. And if that were the case, then that might actually benefit John Kennedy in a runoff against John Bel Edwards.
It would. It would help Kennedy if he got in a runoff. I would hope, as much as John Bel Edwards has done to repair this state from the damage of 8 years of Bobby Jindal, that the Louisiana voters would send him in on the first ballot. That's what I hope. It remains to be seen. It will be a tough race, but I would hope that. Because in my view, he's done a lot of he's tried to repair the damage that Jindal's done, and he's tried to do some things to help the state. And I think we've had a full time governor for you know, I guess it's almost 3 years, and I've been pretty pleased with it.
There is a runoff for Secretary of State 2 weeks from tomorrow. Kyle Ardoin, who received 20.5% of the votes, is in a runoff with Gwen Collins-Greenup, who spent almost no money and got 19.8% of the votes. And she is a decided underdog in this race against Kyle Ardoin. But what do you see happening as far as turnout and the ultimate result on December the 8th?
Yeah, she doesn't have any chance. She might as well. I guess she did it on a lark. And got herself on a bunch of voter guides, some of which implied that the President of the United States had endorsed the ticket, which is not at all true. And that got passed around all over the state. And I think she can thank her runoff bid to those voter guides that went out mostly into African-American churches. And, yeah, she doesn't have a chance.
All right. Vincent Bruno, the President of the United States, took a thumping in the midterm elections. Democrats gained almost 40 seats in the U.S. House of Representatives and didn't lose as much in the Senate as many were predicting. So what does that mean moving forward in the next 2 years for the President of the United States?
Well, you know, you say he took a beating, but if every president in the midterms takes a beating, and he didn't take as much a beating as Obama did. Obama lost 63 seats in the House. And so I don't think he really, he took a beating, but he didn't, not as much as most presidents
well,
do.
Well, not most. This is the most by a Republican since 1974. So he and most people thought it would be much tighter. And in fact, there were some at the end. My friend Roy Fletcher, who was predicting the GOP would retain control of the House, and it didn't happen. And now they're going to, of course, subpoena his tax records. The House majority will. What will this do? And should the president, should he man up and give his tax returns to the Democrats on Capitol Hill, Vincent Bruno?
Well, he's under audit right now, I understand. And if he is, no. When he's not under audit, and if, you know, then I would say
it's been
yes.
A very long audit. Dane Sherman, this audit just goes on and on.
Yeah, it's the audit. It reminds me of when I was in graduate school, I had to read Bleak House by Dickens. And it's, you know, it's not the most well-known book, but it's about 1,000 pages. And it's about a court case that never ends. I think we could rewrite that. It's in the public domain. We could rewrite it about Trump's tax returns and audit. It goes on generation after generation for like 1,000 pages.
All right, here's a question from Holly in the Garden District. Is Mitchell Landrieu, we noted that it's his sister's birthday today, is Mitchell Landrieu a viable Democratic candidate for president in the year of 2020? Dane Sherman, we'll start with you.
No, he is not, but that does not mean he's not going to run. I mean, he's got to have something to do, and that you've got, I don't know, somebody wrote an article not long, why not me or whatever. You've got all these people that are out there with incredible ambitious goals for their lives, and they're looking at Trump that just kind of walked into the presidency, and they're saying, well, hey, maybe I got a shot too. And I think that's what's going through his mind. And frankly, to me, there's only two major people that could win the presidency on the Democratic side that could say, okay, they've got it. And I'm going to get some bricks thrown at me about this, but that's only Joe Biden and Michelle Obama. And Michelle Obama's smart enough not to run for president. So I think he's got no shot, but that, you know, there's a lot of money to be made and a lot of personal ambition to be gained by running for president. So he may run just like, you know, 30 other people on the Democratic side.
Well, we'll get Vincent Bruno's take on the prospect of Mitch Landrieu, former state lawmaker, former lieutenant governor of Louisiana, and, of course, two-term mayor of the city of New Orleans. Will he be running for president? We'll talk more. 877-217-5757 is your number. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. Hope you had a splendid Thanksgiving, and we're glad you're spending your holiday. And maybe a few of you, maybe more than a few, are working. But either way, we're happy you're listening. If you'd like to call, 877-217-5757 is your number. Still time to get in with Vincent Bruno and Dane Sherman. You can send us an email to talk@talklouisiana.org. And we're 10 and a half months away from the governor's election. John Neely Kennedy expected to make an announcement in the next few days about whether he will run, and most anticipate he will say, yes, I am in the race, and it will be his 11th race since 1991 for an office representing the state of Louisiana. And in the presidential world, we're 2 years and 2 months away from perhaps a new president, but right now Donald John Trump is at about 44% in his approval rating, and he is about where he was on Election Day in 2016 when he defeated Hillary Clinton, despite the fact that he lost the overall vote by almost 3 million. And Mitchell Landrieu is one of those candidates who on paper might be a good Democratic choice. He's from the South, perhaps a bit moderate than other Democrats. Got a lot of national attention for removing the monuments in New Orleans, and some believe he did a fantastic job rebuilding the city after Katrina. Does that make him a viable presidential aspirant, Vincent Bruno?
Well, it certainly makes him a contender. Whether he'd be viable, that remains to be seen. I think you're going to have probably other individuals in the Democratic Party that will probably be gain more prominence and probably get the nomination rather than Mitch. But, you know, time will tell and we will see.
Well, Donald Trump is a man who takes a licking and keeps on ticking, as they say. And on, on Thanksgiving Day, when he was asked about what he was thankful for, here is how our president responded.
Thank you all very much.
What are you most thankful for, Mr. President?
For having a great family and for having made a tremendous difference in this country. I've made a tremendous difference in the country. This country is so much stronger now than it was when I took office that you wouldn't believe it. And, I mean, you see it, but so much stronger that people can't even believe it. When I see foreign leaders, they say, we cannot believe the difference in strength between the United States now and the United States 2 years ago.
All right. The president on Thanksgiving Day said he was most thankful for his own leadership of our country. Dane Sherman, were you applauding from a front row seat?
Yeah, I think he needs to get a grip. It's a bit ridiculous. I mean, I've never heard anything about when somebody's saying they're thankful for what they've done. Usually the whole spirit of Thanksgiving is you're thankful for the blessings you've received, not what you have given. It's a bizarre kind of psychology that I probably don't need to dwell on too long.
Now, you mentioned Joe Biden as a prospective candidate. Joe Biden was born in 1942, so next month he will be celebrating birthday number 76, which means he would be 78, around 78 when the next election is held. And he's 4 years older than President Trump, and these two guys are talking like they're teenagers. Biden recently said, and I'm quoting from a Gail Collins column in the New York Times, if we were in high school, I'd take him behind the gym and beat the hell out of him. That's what he said about President Trump. And Trump responded with a tweet that says, crazy Joe Biden would go down fast and hard, crying all the way. Dane Sherman, it could be an interesting race between these two combatants.
Yeah, the gloves will be off the whole time. Hopefully they can keep from going to fisticuffs. But yeah, I think that's part of what I see in Joe Biden is the ability to swing back, and I don't mean physically swing back. I mean politically swing back that I didn't see in Hillary Clinton, that she just did not have that. That was not part of her forte to be to get into that kind of scrap match, and it ultimately hurt her. She didn't swing back, she couldn't handle the constant beating that Trump gave her in the news and on Twitter, and I think that Biden would be able to take every swing and be able to give it just as much as he can take it.
All right, here's one from Bill in Oak Hills asking if the president's personal failings will be an issue at all in the 2020 race. Dane, we'll start with you.
Oh yeah, they'll be right back, and there'll be more. There'll be a lot more of them come out, I'm sure, before the election date in November. I mean, I fully suspect that he'll be vetted more this time than last time.
All right. Well, he's been vetted quite a bit, and as we know, he had a relationship with a young woman who was born here in Baton Rouge, Stormy Daniels, now 39 years old, but a pornographic film star of some consequence, and Vincent Bruno, as a person who is an evangelical. Do you find any troubling aspect to the president and his somewhat sordid past?
Well, we all have done things that we shouldn't have. The scriptures tell us we say we sin not, we lie. But I'd like to bring out that, since you brought up the religious aspect, that in Isaiah it says that I do nothing without informing my prophets first. Well, there's a prophet out of Australia named Kim Comet who prophesied in 2005 that Trump would be president, and he'd come in mildly for the Lord, but after he's in, he'd become a trumpet for God. And that's exactly what has happened.
You think he's conducting himself as a trumpet for God?
Absolutely. He's God's man. I truly believe that prophet, and that's one way you tell a prophet 100% accuracy, and he has been 100% accurate.
All right. Dane Sherman is our president, as Vincent Bruno states, a trumpet for God.
Yeah, I would have to disagree with that, but like each person has their own religious views, and certainly, I see Trump's major religious preferences, narcissism and cruelty. So I would have to disagree with that.
Well, will the House of Representatives now start impeachment proceedings with the Democrats in control? This could happen. Some believe it would not be a prudent move politically. Certainly didn't work when Republicans did it to Bill Clinton. But what do you see as far as the prospect of a full-fledged investigation of the president?
Investigate, do not impeach. They do not need to go down that road. If we learned anything from the Clinton years, it is that going in down the impeachment road, it's not going to make a hill of beans in the Senate. They need to leave that alone. Investigate, get those tax returns out there. Do not try to impeach. That's not going to work.
Vincent Bruno, do you make anything of this continuing probe of the president about his dealings with Russia and now his personal financial affairs? And many people, of course, around him have either pleaded guilty or are under indictment. Is there anything to this, or is it, as the president says, fake news?
I'm not against investigation. But I have to agree with my friend on the other side. This all this talk of impeachment, they'll never get it through the Senate unless he's they really find something really, really bad, and I don't think they're going to find that. You know, it's just the same old games and on both sides of the fence, the Republicans and the Democrats. We've got to stop all this fighting and start looking out for the people of this country and stop all of this trying to win every race at any cost. I got to tell you, I've been a Republican Party, and I'm tired of it. We got to start putting the people first.
Q on Florida Boulevard. Q, good morning. You're on Talk Louisiana.
Hi. I just had to call in because I had to laugh at your evangelical guest here who says that he believes Donald Trump is working for God, and a prophet told him that Donald Trump was going to be president in 2005. Well, the Simpsons also said the same thing. But I also want to remind him that Matthew in the Bible says to beware of false prophets. So he might need to look at that a little bit better.
All right. There are false
prophets.
Go ahead.
You tell it by 100% accuracy, ma'am. And I have to tell you, I've had many miracles. God has spoken to me audibly twice.
But does that mean that Donald Trump's a prophet or a vessel of the Lord? The way he conducts himself would indicate that he is a man of the world more so than a man of God.
No, he was a man of the world.
Do you read his tweets? Do you read his tweets? He calls people women dogs.
He calls an
ex-lover horse face.
Yeah. He stopped a cabinet meeting and asked Carlson to do a prayer. Not many presidents have done that.
Well, Dane Sherman, I suspect Jimmy Carter probably did that, and he wasn't a very good president. Does being pious, as Vincent says our president is, a man of immense piety, does that make him necessarily a good president?
No, I have to disagree about that. I don't even think he's pious. I think it's a game and a sham that got him – one of the games and the shams that got him into the White House. And I think he's just a flim-flam guy, and he's got people snowed. You know, I mean, again, people have the right to their own religious views, and I try not to degrade that in any way. That it's just not profitable. But I just don't think he's sincere in his. I don't believe Trump is sincere in any of his activities at all, other than self promotion. He's pretty sincere about that.
Well, we thank you for joining us, Professor Sherman, who passed up a hunting trip today to be
with
us.
With the great Chris Broadwater, and if he ever hears this, I definitely regret that I did not go squirrel hunt with former Representative Chris Broadwater, but I appreciate him inviting me.
Thank you, Dane, and thank you, Vincent Bruno. Always a pleasure. And we'll return after this brief timeout with more Talk Louisiana.